Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to All the Books, a weekly show of recommendations and enthusiasm regarding the week's new book releases. This is episode 460, and today we are talking about books being released on April 30th, 2024, and more. I'm Liberty Hardy, here with Vanessa Diaz, and we're coming to you from bookriot.com. Vanessa, hello.
Surprise, it's me.
Two times this month.
I know, lucky me. I am actually happy to be here. I like talking to Liberty because she always has interesting tidbits for me that you don't all get to hear all of them. Some of them you do, but they are great.
Well, I was saving my best story for the show.
Yes, I'm very excited. I was promised a good story.
Well, it's just nature is amazing, as always. I'm always talking about animals and birds and all this stuff now. And I think I mentioned I got cameras for my yard because my friend got a camera for her backyard. And she sees the coolest things at night. Like, there's a bobcat that, like, walks through their yard almost every night. Like, its way to somewhere else. Just, like, strolls through. But it's huge!
I bet.
And it's just, like, amazing. So, I got cameras for our backyard, and we've seen raccoons, and there have been foxes running back and forth. And yesterday, my husband cleaned up the backyard during the day. He got his garden all set, like dug up the dirt and all, so he's gonna, you know, start planting stuff again. And last night, like at 8 o'clock, we were watching TV and I get a notification on my phone that there's movement in the backyard. And when we look, there is a fox rolling in the dirt on its back like a dog. Like, this is the best and I love the dirt. And it was so amazing. But because I'm not very smart, this has to have been like the 10th or 11th time I've fallen for this. It's dark outside. This is night vision on the camera, but I run to the window and I can't see anything because it's dark
magic.
Outside.
Where'd he go?
Yeah. But on my phone, I can see it clearly happening, you know?
Oh, man.
I don't
That's
think
exactly
I'm ever
going
to get used to it.
No, I do the same
thing. It's so weird. It's so weird. But
what a cute thing to capture.
It was so cute. So cute. It's really cool. I mean, we've seen all kinds of things, and it's just so fun. I'm really glad that we did it. You know, I've always been envious of people have, like, those trail cameras and stuff. But, like,
yeah.
Just in our backyard, just, like, hanging out.
Our executive director, Sharifa, has, I don't know if it's actually, no, she don't think it's a camera. She just ended up posting stuff from, like, her phone, but she always sends over these images of this very notorious, I think there's one is a hedgehog and one I think is a woodchuck, but that are just terrorizing her yard every time the plants come in. And it's great. I'm like, somebody record this for me all the time. This is the little, like, hit of dopamine that I need when the day is bad, just to see all these cute little animals, like, doing life. It's great. So, yes, I love that you have those cameras.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You're just like, ho-hum, here's my day. And then it's like, hey, there is a raccoon, like, scaling the fence in your backyard. You know,
that's the best.
And it's just really funny. So I'm really enjoying it. Which is making up for the, like, there's a lack of birds this year again. Mm. Like, a couple of years ago, we got all kinds of different birds, like orioles and a lot of hummingbirds. And this year, like, no orioles, no hummingbirds yet. Mm. Just like last year, we didn't see any, which is weird. So they probably were like, we went to this lady's house a couple years ago. She stinks. Let's not stop there.
She stared at us all the time.
Like, or perhaps they're like, she has foxes. Let's not go.
Maybe. Actually, that's not a bad theory.
I was telling my friend, like, we started getting foxes in our backyard. And then I realized, like, we've probably always had them.
Yep.
And we just
now you just
see
get
them.
To see them. Exactly.
Yeah. It's fun. But all right, so we're going to talk about books now that we've covered the animals. Today's episode is episode 460, which again is a general purpose area code. I guess they were just like running out of things to do with these, you know, higher 400 something numbers. But we are going to talk about books. If you like books, you should think about getting Tailored Book Recommendations. Tailored Book Recommendations is here to help you elevate your reading life with handpicked recommendations. You tell the bibliologists at Tailored Book Recommendations about what you love and what you don't love about books. I mean, you could tell them other things, but you really want to tell them about books. You can get your recommendations via email or receive hardcovers or paperbacks in the mail. And with quarterly or annual plans available, TBR has something for every budget, starting at just $18. So visit mytbr.co to subscribe to TBR. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. That's mytbr.co. And now we're going to hear from a sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters is an intimate portrait of two generations, a granddaughter and a grandmother, coming to terms with what it means to be family, Black women, and alive in a world on fire. In heartfelt lyrical prose, Mary Inez Hegler weaves an unforgettable story of the climate crisis, Black resistance, and the enduring power of family. Narrated by Janice Abbott Pratt and written by climate justice writer Mary Inez Hegler, the Troubled Waters audiobook is available everywhere May 7th. It follows Corinne as she plans to stage a dramatic act of resistance and peels back the scabs of her family wounds and puts her safety in jeopardy. Both grandmother and granddaughter must bring their unspoken secrets into light to find a path to healing. Known for her essays that dissect and interrogate the climate crisis, drawing heavily on her personal experience as a Black woman with deep roots in the South, Mary Inez Hegler brings us her first work of fiction titled Troubled Waters. Make sure to pick it up. Thanks again to Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. This is one I'm actually super excited about. I liked Leigh Bardugo's other adult fantasy books, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. It's set in the Spanish Golden Age during a time of high stakes political intrigue and glittering wealth. It follows Luzia, a servant in the household of an impoverished Spanish nobleman who reveals a talent for little miracles. Her social climbing mistress demands Luzia use her gifts to win over Madrid's most powerful players, but what begins as simple amusement takes a dangerous turn. Luzia will need to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even the help of Guillén Santángel, an immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. So The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo is on sale now. And like I said, it's a must read of the season. It's perfect for anyone who loves history, a little bit of magic, a lot of danger. You can get your copy now at LeighBardugoTheFamiliar.com. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, for sponsoring this episode.
Okay. And now I'm going to bring everybody down with my first pick.
Excellent.
Yes. It's just, I'm super into nonfiction lately and kind of like in a dark place, I think, because you'll see like a lot of the stuff I talk about today is dark.
Look, same. Yeah. Proceed.
So my first pick for today is The Chain, Love, Betrayal, and the Sisterhood That Heals Us by Shimen Suleiman. This is a memoir about the author's relationship with a man who turned out to be a serial scammer and criminal. I want to say up front, there are lots of infuriating things that I'm going to be talking about that some people might find triggering, so just be aware as I go ahead. Suleiman moved to New York City in 2015, I think, 2016, shortly after leaving a bad five-year relationship in England where she had lived. And she ended up meeting a man on a dating app. We're going to call him Jay, like short for jerk. But really, he deserves much stronger words than that. But we're going to call him Jay, just so I have something to say throughout this. So she meets Jay in person after meeting him on this dating app. And he's sweet, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's patient. And he just wants to like hold her hand. And they go out a bunch of times, and he takes her around to meet his friends. You know, he tells her he's a comedian and that he works in clubs and that he also works on movie sets. And Jay just says and does all the right things. And this is exactly what she needed after this terrible relationship. Like, you know, someone who is kind, and she's completely smitten. And he's already like talking about like long term, and he ends up staying at her place all the time. But as the weeks go by, like, he's like texting her, like, all these sweet things. But as the weeks go by, slowly his kindnesses are being replaced with criticism and cruelty until he's just cruel and criticizing her all the time. And it leaves her stunned. She finds herself seeking his approval, like wondering what she did to make him change, to make the way he felt about her change, like why he's doing this. And she's trying to, you know, be generous and helpful and do everything. But he's telling her she doesn't treat him the right way. He tells her that he's autistic and he's agoraphobic, and he sends her all these articles to read about both things. But he keeps telling her she doesn't respond to him the right way, and she's being insensitive to his needs and to his conditions. And then he stops like showing up sometimes, and he doesn't respond to text messages. And then he tells her that after several months, that he has to leave the country for work. And he's gone for 2 months, and he's like texting her, but it's still like, you know, every like few days, and it's not great. And he finally returns and then says he has to leave again immediately because his mother is dying of cancer in Atlanta. And he leaves again. And then he comes back and says, like, his mother has died, and now he has to leave all the time to deal with all the stuff pertaining to his mother's death and signing all these things and doing all this stuff. And shortly after he returns from his supposed work trip, she got pregnant and she decides to have an abortion. And he's 100% on board with this. And he's telling her, like, you know, he'll go with her and he'll support her, whatever she needs. You know, he loves her so much. They're going to be together always. He's like telling her this on the way to the clinic. And then while she's in the exam room, he doesn't go in. When she comes out, he's gone and she never sees him again. And she's like, what could have happened to him? She's all worried. He's not responding to text messages. She's all worried, you know. And finally, she sends a message to one of his friends because she doesn't know what happened to him and where he is. And the only thing she gets back is a message from him, because his friend contacted him. Just this hate-filled text message saying that, like, these terrible things about what an awful person she is and no one will ever love her and all this stuff. Just like hours after, like, he was saying, you know, they were going to be together and all this stuff. And she is devastated. She doesn't know what she did. She doesn't know why he would do this. She doesn't even know what happened or where he is. And a few months go by and she's like beating herself up, you know, wondering like why she's so unlovable and what's wrong with her. And she goes on Instagram and she searches his name. And she finds a post from a woman in Australia, which is where he said he was working for those 2 months.
Oh, no.
Who has drawn a picture of him. And it has a caption that says something like, "This man is a psychopath. Stay far away." And so Suleiman is like, "What?" And she starts reading the comments. And there are several more women in the comments who are saying, "Yeah, this man borrowed thousands of dollars from me, never returned it. This man told me his mom was dying of cancer and he needed money. He told me she had died and he needed money to travel for her funeral. He told me he needed money for a life-saving procedure for himself. He told me he needed money for medication for a life-saving medication for himself. He needed money for and it's always the same. Like, these women start saying, like, you know, it started out amazing. Then he stopped showing up and he started being cruel. And there was overlap sometimes of like 3 or 4 women at a time, like women that were like in her neighborhood, but like not just in her neighborhood, because this has been going on for years. Wow. He would steal something from one woman and give it to a new woman as a gift, or bring a woman back to another woman's place and say it was his. He stole pain medication from a woman who was in pain. He stole clothing. He stole completely random items. And as Suleiman starts talking to more and more women around the world, they form this group and she calls it The Change. And they help each other feel better, you know, because she was wondering what she did wrong. And, you know, they all tell each other, it wasn't you. You weren't going crazy. You didn't lose that thing. You were right to sense that something was off. And they really helped each other through this. And there are so many of them. So many. I don't even know how this man kept track of everything. And Suleiman also examines the sexism in society, how women are still encouraged to placate men, to be nurturing and giving and make things work, And women are still taught what not to do. Don't walk there. Don't wear that. Don't leave your drink alone. Don't go out at night. You know, text everybody where you are. You know, and in general, men are not told with the same amount of reiteration not to hurt women, not to abuse women, not to do these kinds of things. It's alarming, you know, and I actually read this, or I was gonna say it's alarming because I read this book right before I read this one. It's a memoir from a police detective coming out in July about catching a serial killer in her town. And this man was like two clicks away from Jay. You know, like Jay could have been him, but just a little more, you know, it's like so many of the things that they had said or like in his comedy shows, he said like really hateful, awful things about women. So many of the things that he and the serial killer said were like the same. Like they felt men deserve sex. They hate women. They think they are more powerful than women. They stole things. They abused women. Like it was bananas. I was like, that was quite the switch. The only thing, and I know like we just don't usually get these kinds of answers, is that there's like no answer as to why he behaved like this. You know, I read that book many years ago about that lady who claimed to have been in the towers during 9/11, and she lost her fiance and like ran the support group and all stuff. And it turned out that she hadn't even been in the country when it happened. And she wouldn't speak to anybody as to why that is, you know? And I feel that way, like about hackers too. Like, why did you do this? Like, why? Like, I want someone to give me the answers, but we don't get them, you know? I mean, obviously this man has issues and, you know, whatever, but I just want something like, I thought I could do this, or, you know, I've decided, you know, it's just, it's frustrating. But what ends up happening is the community forms and these women support each other and, you know, help each other through it. You know, like he even went on their phones and computers and blocked the other women that he was seeing without them knowing. Like later they would find, like, they'd be like, I didn't block any of these people, because he didn't want anyone to tag him in photos like when he was seeing them and then have someone else see it, you know? So it's the layers of deceit are amazing. But this memoir examines how women got to the point where they put up with men like Jay, and then how they got to the point where they had enough. It's a fascinating look at the bad side of relationships. I think a lot of people will recognize some of the stories told here from their own bad experiences if they've had them. It's about how the internet and phones have changed dating, and why society needs to stop encouraging people that you need a relationship to be complete, and the power of friendship. It's The Chain, Love, Betrayal, and the Sisterhood That Heals Us by Shemin Suleiman.
That is, I just sat here with my mouth open the whole time. I really love Shemin Suleiman. She is the co-editor of both the American and British versions of the book, The Good Immigrant. Mm-hmm. And so this was just not where I don't know why I convinced myself this was just sort of like, I mean, not that memoirs are boring, but I did not see any of what you just said coming. That is bananas. I'm going to read that.
It's bananas.
Oof. Okay. Well, thank you. I admittedly was not supposed to be on this episode of All the Books. We just had a bit of a scheduling snap, but I'm happy to always to come on and talk to Liberty. So I have picked four books today that I actually have not read, just in full disclosure, but I had fun with it because, again, it wasn't my normal rotation. I was like, oh, let me just go through and pick a bunch of books that have sounded interesting. So the first one of those is What's Eating Jackie O by Patricia Park. This is a YA novel about a young girl named Jackie O, who is tired of being the perfect Korean-American daughter. There is so much pressure on her to live up to her parents' exacting standards, when like all she wants to do is be a chef. But she knows that expressing that would probably not get the desired reaction from mom and dad. So she manages to work at her grandparents' deli after school and at night, which is great because she's also using that opportunity to practice her French cooking. She knows that she should be studying, but being in the kitchen is just so soothing. It's a balm to the stress, right, of school and studying, and also, unfortunately, rising anti-Asian violence in New York, where she and her family live. So when Jackie is given the opportunity to compete on her favorite teen cooking show, which is called Burn Off, which I thought was great, she, of course, takes it. She thinks escaping into the world of this, you know, competition show and all of these privileged kids is going to be fun. But more, of course, is she'll just get to hone and show off her skills in the kitchen. And like, yeah, the gimmick, the challenges, I should say, are very like, you know, gimmicky, but like, that's fine. Like, this is her time to shine. So it is all about kind of that, like, reaching for the things that you want while trying to, you know, weigh those things against other people's expectations. It dives into identity and culture with a lot of humor and a lot of heart, from what I have been told by two different people who've recommended this book to me recently. So yeah, I am very excited. I love a foodie anything. It feels like we've gotten a ton of it in the last few years. And I so far have, I don't know, been really interested and I guess impressed at how many people take different twists on it. And this sounds very, very sweet and up my alley. So again, that is What's Eating Jackie O by Patricia Park.
There are a lot of foodie books lately.
Yes.
I think if you took like some of the trends, it would be like elderly foodie dragon investigating a murder.
Stay tuned for my bestseller. Gonna write that down.
I just sold it. So after I read those two books that I mentioned earlier, the memoir and the book about the serial killer before that, I needed something to cleanse my palate. So I read The Cats of Silver Crescent by Kayla Noel. It's a cute middle grade fantasy novel about a 12-year-old named Elsby. She goes to stay with her great aunt Verity while her mother has to travel for work. So Elsby likes to write stories and she loves animals. She writes stories about animals. Her aunt Verity lives in a duplex and the other side is empty because that is where the landlord lived, but the landlord recently passed away. So the family is kind of like arguing over the house and it's going to like get sold or something. They don't know what they're doing yet. So it's empty, but Elsby's pretty sure she sees the curtains moving. And later she sees a cat in the backyard. And now you might be thinking like, well, that doesn't seem that unusual. Except this cat is dressed in an old-fashioned sailor suit, wearing a boater and walking on two legs. And carrying a basket of broccoli. So Elsby's like, what? You know, and runs after him because he's like, oops, caught. Runs off. She can't find him. She's like, okay, I don't know what I just saw, but, you know, trying to like rationalize it. And she's like, I don't think anybody's going to believe me if I tell them. So she doesn't say anything. But then later that night, there's a knock on her window. And now there are three cats in clothing outside her window. And not only that, when she opens the window, they talk, which takes her a beat or two to get over. But they tell Elsby that they need her help. These cats, there's actually four of them total. They bring her to the landlord's place. There's another cat there. They say like they've lived with the landlord for a while now, but she passed away, so their lives have been disrupted. There's no one to feed them and spoil them, and they're eating broccoli. Blah. And, you know, it turns out they talk and walk on 2 feet because they are under a magical enchantment, which is running out. And they need Elsby's help to renew it. So Elsby is like, no, I hate cats. Get lost. Just kidding. Elsby's like, of course, because like, who would say no to talking cats? You know, so it's their adventure in like trying to renew their enchantment. And it's just really cute. It's really cute. Talking animals are always a good time. I do want to point out if there are any, you know, I should say, I do want to point out to anybody who's listening, don't crawl out your window in the middle of the night, even for talking cats. Like, it's not safe.
Safety first, kids.
Yeah. Like, someone knocks it, don't go outside. How does she know, like, that they weren't vampire cats, right? I mean, knocking on the window on the second story in the middle of the night, like, could have been vampire cats. But they weren't. But, yeah. But other than that, you know, safety first. And I do want to mention there are mentions of anxiety and animal harm and suffering, mostly mentioned in Elsby's work in progress, her writing, and also death. That is The Cats of Silver Crescent by Kayla Noel.
That sounds adorable.
It is adorable.
Oh, can't wait. I will put that one down on my list. All right. I literally am writing it down. Okay. So my next pick is one that I actually had started reading. I'm very, very not far into it, but I love this author, and that is Missing White Woman by Kelly Garrett. So Garrett is the author of Hollywood Homicide, which is a hoot and a holler, as another one of our editors, Erica Azzafetti, called it. And I love that book. It's cozy. And for the longest time, Kelly was one of the few cozy authors of color that we would get to talk about. Thankfully, that has changed a ton. But I used to recommend this particular book to people all the time because it's just a lot of fun. But since then, Kelly has gone less cozy and more thriller. Her book, Like a Sister, came out, I think, a couple of years ago now. I think it was 2022. And it was great. So you should definitely read that one as well. It was very entertaining. And so I've been excited to read this book from her this year. It is about our main character, Brenna, who starts off on a romantic getaway with her boyfriend, Ty, but that getaway quickly turns into a nightmare. On the last day of the vacation, when she comes down the stairs of the luxury Jersey City row house that they've rented. I think I just called her Brenna because I have a friend named Brenna, but her name is actually Bree, so pardon that. But Bree finds an unwelcome surprise when she comes down those stairs, and that is there is a dead woman in the foyer, a white woman. That's, of course, bad. And also, her boyfriend is missing. That is better. So to make things worse, the dead person is Janelle Beckett, a missing woman that the internet is obsessing over right now, in part because this influencer who's chasing clout and views is using that case to boost her engagement. So this person is not, you know, going under the rug in any way. Like, this is a big deal that this person is missing. And an even bigger deal that she is now dead in this vacation foyer. So with the heat of the police and social media closing in, Bree has to figure out what happened to Janelle herself, if she's going to know peace again. Because the past that she had distanced herself from in college is coming flooding back. I love the way that Kelly writes suspense. I was a big fan, again, of Like a Sister. So I'm very, very excited to see where the rest of this goes. Feels very timely in the way that there's just always something going on the internet and one never knows. And I think if I know Kelly Garrett, this is probably also going to be an examination of like whose stories get told and like, you know, amplified. Very excited to finish this. That again is Missing White Woman by Kelly Garrett.
Okay. Those are some books that we have read. Those are books that we are excited to read. And now we're going to talk about a few more that we are excited to read. I am going to kick it off with In Universes by Emmett North, which I'm so in love with the cover of this book. It's like this rainbow prismy cover, which is why I stopped to look at it, like when I was going through the catalog to begin with. But then it got compared to Emily St. John Mandel and Carmen Maria Machado, and it just sounds really great. It's about a scientist who works in a cosmology lab and is also fascinated with the idea of a multiverse. They're also crushing really hard on a sculptor that they know. And somehow the scientist manages to transport themselves to a different universe, like where the sculptor is crushing on them back, but now they're teens, like they know each other as teens. And then they go to another universe. And as they visit more alternate universes, things get weirder as they go along. And the scientist is trying to find a place where they feel accepted and loved. Like, in what universe is that? It sounds really great. I love time travel or multiverse travel. Multiverse is just really fun to say. It's going to be great. It's called In Universes by Emmett North.
Speaking of pretty covers, I am very excited about my next pick. It's been on my list for a bit, so it kind of worked out that I got to talk about it today. That's Bite by Bite, Nourishments and Jamborees by Amy Nezuka Matatl. Amy is a poet and an essayist and the author of this gorgeous book called World of Wonders that you have probably seen if you've been into a bookstore in the last few years. It's this illustrated collection of nature essays that made a big splash when it came out. I cannot tell you how many copies of this thing I sold as a bookseller, especially for, you know, gifting purposes and gifting seasons and year round, really. And for good reason. It's stunning. The essays are about everything from peacocks to flamingos and narwhals. In fact, I think that's how I found out that narwhals are real. Don't judge me. But again, the illustrations are just gorgeous. So now this is her latest, Bite by Bite, and it's a collection of short essays that are about food. And she, if she writes about food the way she does about the natural world, like, we're all in for a treat. In this book, she explores the way that food and drink are tied to memory and feeling, and how, you know, a flavor or even a hint of one, an aroma, can transport us and evoke joy and shame, nostalgia, grief, you know, any number of emotions and sensations. I'm just going to read this one little bit directly from the copy because it just sounds so literally yummy. It's from shaved ice to lumpia, mangoes to pecans, rambutan to vanilla. She investigates how food marks our experiences and identities and explores the boundaries between heritage and memory. All of those foods are things that I would like to eat, except I mean, I don't want to eat vanilla, but, you know, vanilla's great. But again, if the way that she writes about food is kind of approached in the same way that she talks about the natural world, this is going to be one of my favorite things that I read this year. So I'm very, very excited about this one. That, again, is Bite by Bite, Nourishments and Jamborees by Amy Nezuko Matatl.
That just, the Wonder, World of Wonders just came out in paperback.
Oh my gosh.
After several years. And it has like a shiny prism cover.
Oh, yeah. The hardcover was so beautiful. I haven't seen the paperback, but I imagine
it's really amazing.
Oh, yay.
So awesome. My other pick for today is more nonfiction. My goodness. It's The Demon of Unrest, a saga of hubris, heartbreak, and heroism at the dawn of the Civil War by Eric Larson. You might recognize Eric Larson's name. He of the gazillion-selling nonfiction books. He wrote The Devil in the White City. I think this is his sixth or seventh book. Devil in the White City, In the Garden of Beasts, Thunderstruck, a whole bunch. This is about the 5 months between the election of Abraham Lincoln and the start of the Civil War, what led up to the attack on Fort Sumter. It's about the people involved on both sides, the cause of it, slavery, the escalations, the miscommunications, like, how did this happen? And like his other works, it is thoroughly researched. This one, it says, is done using documents, diaries, and letters. And it is sure to be riveting. Like, he takes his time. Like, I feel like in the last few years, he's had a book out like every 3 or 4 years, whereas it used to be a lot longer than that. So he's moving it along. But like, they're always fascinating. I mean, even like if you're tired of reading about some of the subjects, like World War II or the Civil War, he always finds things that you don't know. You know, because there's just, you can never know. There's so much about everything, you know. So it's called The Demon of Unrest, a saga of hubris, heartbreak, and heroism at the dawn of the Civil War by Eric Larson. I got very confused because when we watch basketball, like you do, you know, you and I right now, both our teams in round one of the, you know, NBA finals, not going so well for either of us.
Nope.
But whenever I watch basketball, like when the players run really fast to make a dunk and they hit the basket and it bounces off, I go, hubris, because that's what you get. But so then when I had to say it out loud, I was like, that's not the right word. Am I supposed to say that word? That can't be right. But yeah.
I love the way your brain works.
I'm sure this book will prove to be better than how basketball is turning out right now. Although, you know, my Celtics are only down. They're like 1-1, so it's okay.
It's fine. But, it's early.
You know, I am not very optimistic ever, and I've been here before. So our coworker, Jamie, who lives in Miami, like her father is a huge Miami Heat fan. The Celtics are playing right now. And so he likes to like have her send me messages, like trash talk me, you know? And so they won the other night against the Celtics, and she said, my dad said to tell you they're gonna win the next 3 games, and I said, tell your dad that's probably right because this is what we do. And she was like, my dad said to tell you that's not how trash talking works.
Mr. Cannabis, wherever you are, yeah, that is great. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Like, I'm resigned to it, so it's fine.
Like, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I enjoy that, especially knowing Jamie and about her dad.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
her dad and I have like a fake rivalry.
That is great. That's
and absolutely. I just back down always, so it's like
you're like much. Yes, uh-huh, that's exactly
it's what's probably gonna happen.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, no, we're supposed to have a back and forth.
It's like I've seen this show before.
I get it. I've had many a sports heartbreak in the last few years, but that's okay. We keep on coming back.
Yeah. All right, back to books.
What do you
have for us?
My next one is one that I was very excited to read again, so it kind of worked out that I got to be on this week, and that is The Vanishing Station by Anna Elixon. It is about Ruby Santos, who is an 18-year-old Filipina America living in San Francisco. Her mother has just died, and she's been grieving, and not just grieving, but her and her dad are in trouble. They're really, like, deeply behind on their bills. They're in debt, specifically from the mom's medical treatment, because as we all know, in this country... You don't need me to say what it's bad. So they've had to move out of the top floor of their home and into the basement in order to rent out the top floor to, you know, tenants and bring in some cash. Then Ruby discovers a secret about her father and a secret about the city. Her dad has been working as a delivery person, which you're like, okay, fine. But for the underworld, he, you know, jumps train lines and gets packages to a wealthy family in said underworld. But because of his grief and also some alcohol use, he has fallen behind. And if he doesn't catch up, the family could, like, the house could be taken from them. So Ruby does, of course, what any good daughter would do. She offers to help, but it's not, you know, a fun kind of, like, magical romantic underworld. I mean, like, that exists, sure, but the underworld is a world of rivalry, of trafficking of illegal goods, and she realizes that she might be creating more trouble for her family than she ever imagined. So yeah, this definitely had me from magical San Francisco underground. Like, when I read the description for it, it got all the way to the part about the dad having a secret, and I definitely did not guess this secret. So it just sounds like a lot of fun. Again, that is The Vanishing Station by Anna Elixon.
We're going to hear from another sponsor now.
Today's episode is brought to you by Yin Press, your favorite publisher of Japanese manga and novels. Tragedy unfolds on the first day of spring when a train derails at Nishi Yokohama Station, changing the course of hundreds of lives. 2 months later, a rumor spreads of a ghost with the power to send others back in time, inevitably attracting those who seek a chance to go back to that fateful day. The God of Nishi Yokohama Station by Takeshi Murase is a moving story about the unpredictability of life. It aims to comfort tired souls and answers the famous question, what would you do if you had a second chance? Told through the eyes of a student, a son, and a bride-to-be, this heart-wrenching novel is a reflection of how grief impacts us and what we must do to pick up the pieces. Don't miss this literary debut full of fabulism and time travel by Japanese writer Takeshi Murase. To learn more, please visit yinpress.com. And thanks again to Yin Press, your favorite publisher of Japanese manga and novels, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Penguin Young Readers. So this book I'm about to tell you about is giving Five Worlds meets Spirited Away realness. It's about a girl fighting her way back home after getting trapped in the spirit world. It follows Anzu, who has moved to a new town during Oban, a time for families to remember and celebrate their ancestors. And ever since her Aoba-chan died, Oban has lost its magic. She doesn't feel much like celebrating anymore. So while avoiding holiday festivities, Anzu spots a stray dog down the street, a dog that seems to be staring right at her. So when she chases it, she slips and falls down a bridge, losing consciousness. And when she awakes, she's in the Shinto underworld known as Yomi. The stray dog, she finds out, is actually the gatekeeper of Yomi, and he warns her to return to the human realm before it's too late. Like I said, Miyazaki realness. I'm super excited for this, so make sure to pick up Anzu in the Realm of Darkness by Mai K. Nguyen, and thanks again to Penguin Young Readers for sponsoring this episode.
All right, that's it. I was gonna say my next pick, but that's it. Yeah, so we are going to talk about a few paperbacks today. I just have a few. The first one being, this was so good, Carmen and Grace by Melissa Cost-Aquino, about two friends in a New York City neighborhood who grow up working for a drug dealer on the block and the choices and the paths their lives take. A Living Remedy, a memoir by Nicole Chung. This is a gorgeous memoir about grief. Chung lost her parents during the pandemic, and she writes about that experience. A Benny's Song by P. Jelly Clark. This is a middle grade fantasy set in West Africa. I think this is his first middle grade. I think. He has a lot of adult novels, which are amazing, like Ring Shout, and, you know, one of my favorite books of the year, which is coming out in a few months, The Dead Cattail Assassins. So good. Skull Water by Heinz Insu Finkel. This is about a young man growing up on a military base. He is the son of a German officer enlisted in the American Army and a Korean mother, and his experiences being teased for being half and half, as they say in the description. Chaos and Flame by Tessa Grattan and former writer Justina Ireland. Yay. This is the first in a YA romanticy duology. If you've read this and loved it, or if you read this and love it, the second one will be out on May 14th. And Murder Your Employer, The McMaster's Guide to Homicide by Rupert Holmes. This is actually a novel, not a how-to book. But if you're like, why does the name Rupert Holmes sound familiar? Here's where I get the Pina Colada song stuck in your head. Rupert Holmes is the writer and singer of the Pina Colada song from many, many years ago, but I still think after I was born. And also, he writes a lot of mysteries. He's won the Edgar Award. And this one is about a school, I'm reading from the blurb now, dedicated to the art of murder, where students study how best to delete their most deserving victim. I didn't read it. I was like, I don't know. But actually, it's had amazing reviews. It made a lot of end of the year lists. I mean, it sounds like something I would want to read, but like, it didn't sound like something I wanted to read more than some of the other things I read. But now I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. So yeah, I don't know. I can be fussy sometimes.
There's also 9,000 books.
So, and also out is Meet Me Tonight in Atlantic City by Jane Wong, about growing up in, take a wild guess, Atlantic City, her childhood, her father's gambling problem, which cost them their livelihoods when she was young. It was really good. I think I talked about it on the show, like, when it came out. So that is now out in paperback as well. Awesome. So what are you going to read next?
I am reading all kinds of stuff right now. I'm not going to tell you a lot about the very first one I'm reading, because you're going to hear about it in just a couple of weeks when I'm on the show again. And that's Oye by Melissa Mogollon. It's this, just to say, it's about a girl figuring out life in the middle of Miami when the hurricane's about to hit. She's trying to help her grandma evacuate. She don't want to. Stuff happens. You're going to hear me gush about it for entirely too long. So let's just say it's fantastic. It's like, I want to finish up Missing White Woman. I'm having a great time with that. And then I literally know pretty much nothing about my next pick, except that I think it's cozy romanticy, but it's Can't Spell Treason Without Tea by Rebecca Thorne. It's just an easy way to get me to read anything. Treason, tea, sure. Why? And it looked very cute in the cover. So that's what we're doing.
It is.
How about you? Right?
It's one of those self-published success stories, like Legend Lattes and The Martian, where, you know, it did really well. So
yep.
It got picked up by a larger publisher. It is being reissued, and the sequel will be out.
I think
the sequel is out, like, self-published, but I think the sequel will be out with the larger publisher.
Pub, yeah.
Not too far from now. So.
I know I read it, and now I can't remember when. But anyway, yeah, good timing. So woohoo.
Yeah. I don't know. I seem to be in like a dark place, and I go through these phases, and right now I'm reading You'll Leave This World With Your Butt Sewn Shut and Other Little Known Secrets, Shocking Facts, and Amusing Trivia About Death and Dying by Robin Grimm. First of all, is that their real name? Like, I don't know. But it's pretty great. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, wildly curious. Speaking of which, Caitlin Doughty writing a new book about what happened to the people who died on the Titanic, which sounds
stop it right
so
now.
So fascinating. So yeah, looking forward to that one. And I'm also reading The Secret History of the Rape Kit, a true crime story by Pagan Kennedy, which comes out in January of 2025, which is an important thing to know about. So, yeah. Next week, maybe I'll read about bunnies and foxes, although not together, because that would probably end horribleness.
Not
too.
Usually a great combo, but you know, so all things are possible.
That is it for us today. You can visit mytbr.co to subscribe to TBR. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. That's mytbr.co. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our awesome audio editor, Caitlin Brame. You can drop us a line at allthebooks@bookriot.com and tell us about what you're reading or what animals run through your backyard or what area code you live in. You know, whatevs. Vanessa, where can people find you online?
I am mostly on Instagram, trying to be on Blue Sky and Twitter. I'm always going to call it Twitter. Sorry for it. Buenos dias, SD.
All right. And I mostly hang out on Instagram at friendsandcomesalive. And if you want to give us a treat, you can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is you get your podcasts and leave a rating or review. It helps other book lovers to find us, and we appreciate it so, so much. And as much as we would love to tell you about more books today, we just don't have the time, but you can read about more titles out now in the show notes at bookriot.com/allthebooks, as well as find a link to our weekly new books newsletter. And for more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com, and don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. And in the meantime, happy reading.